You're listening to the Backstage Pass podcast, hosted by Hannah Fidler and brought to you by Parlor.
The Backstage Pass podcast is a guide for upcoming artists and newcomers to the music industry. Each week, I speak to experts in different fields, and in this episode, I'll be talking to Lorenzo De Pascalis about what it's like to be a VJ working for Martin Garrix, and how he creates some of the most impressive lighting and visual effects I've ever seen in a live show. Lorenzo De Pascalis, how are you today?
I am very good, thank you for asking. How about you?
I'm good. Are you joining us from Ombra World HQ?
Correct. We're here in the office in Hackney Downs Studios in London.
You are a VJ and a visuals specialist. How did you get into that?
It had a weird start. Initially, I used to work in this small club, a small venue in close to Milan. And I used to organize like punk rock shows. So a completely different thing. And it was just me and my friends having fun and like playing instruments and, you know, just it was our small thing. But this venue at some point, they were all my friends as well inside the venue. So I was trying to help them out with whatever I could do. And one of the guys told me like, there's this thing called visuals. You should like check it out. I was like, okay, I'll check it out. And I just immersed myself into this thing. And especially the 3D design of this became my, you know, daily creative thing. That's how it started. Basically, it's someone asked me to just have fun with something, and then it ended up being my job.
Wow, that tends to be the best way, doesn't it? Like finding something that you find really exciting, and then
That was it.
What kind of software did you use when you first started?
There's a few different softwares. The one I use mainly for design stuff has always been the same that I've used since I started. It's called Cinema 4D. So that's to create all the 3D animations and general 3D objects and things. And then for post-production, I use After Effects, which is an Adobe product. And then in the studio, we kind of explored a few different things, a few different softwares. There's softwares for like texturing, there's software for doing crazy simulations. And then there's all the software for doing VJing, which is the main software I've always used is called Resolume. That's the one from start to finish that we've used for all the shows we've done, basically.
It sounds really, really complicated, is it?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, you deal with audio and you record songs and you do all these sort of things that for me are difficult in comparison. But then in the end of the day, that's what you do is probably quite easy. Or, I mean, it's still challenging, obviously, because clients have some crazy requests sometimes. But you find ways around it and you find a way to get it to work. So it's also a big passion for all of us. To have fun with creating things, so it's nice. We like it.
It sounds really fun as well. I know that you've worked with Jessie J on her live performances, and Liam Payne on Jimmy Fallon and Martin Garrix's tours and stuff like that. What's the most exciting project you've ever worked on?
The last project we did before lockdown was this show for DJ Snake. And the screen was huge. It was so big. And it was like in this 3D cube composition. That for me was super exciting to explore this space, this huge space. With Martin, we explored so many different styles and glitches and filming and doing all this sort of stuff. And that was super exciting as well for us. You know, it's all new things and exploring things that you know, but you want to bring to another level that is yours. Compared to, you know, references you can find on the internet or videos you used to see, we tend to explore a lot into things that might be simple and make them more complicated in ours. So I think there's never been one single project that I liked like the most. Okay. I guess Martin was the longest one, and I've worked with him for a lot of years, so it kind of grew. To be an amazing relationship in those times. So it was from start to finish, you know, creating amazing things and starting off smaller and then growing up with that.
Have you ever done anything that's gone, that you've had to make last minute changes on because something's gone wrong? Yeah.
Always, yeah. It really depends from the show. So if you're working with DJs especially, the amount of stuff that you do for a show is a lot bigger than you would do for like Jessie J or an act that, you know, you can rely on cameras, you can rely on her and her talent. Whilst Martin is obviously super talented and amazing producer, but he's in one point, he doesn't move.
Bit of this.
Yeah, correct. So the screen changes all the time, the dimension change all the time. And, you know, I find myself a lot of times creating custom content for these screens the day of the show. It was fun, obviously, but there was a lot going on into preparing those things. Obviously, it wasn't just showing up and the show's ready, let's go. It was a lot of pre-work to do per show. But in the end, the result was amazing. So I think it was worth putting the effort in that.
If you have an unlimited budget and an unlimited access to lights, is there anything that you can't do?
You can really do a lot of things now. It's just a lot of things you might have to make sure they're safe. That is the important thing.
Right.
Because when you told me if you had an unlimited budget, I was already thinking about like drones carrying around lights and just
moving around
and lasers and everything. And potentially you could do that, but would it be the safest thing in the world? Probably no, not yet.
Yeah. The possibilities are endless, aren't they? If you had a piece of advice to give to someone who was interested in becoming like a visuals specialist or a VJ, what area would you say to kind of focus on? What would you say, you know, how would you get into that?
It kind of depends what you like to do. For instance, we have people that work with us that like editing and they don't produce the stuff that they edit. We have people that film and we have people that do 2D animation, 3D animation. And there's such a big variety of things. And then at the same time, you can only be a VJ, and that is an option. You can go around with content that is produced by whoever it is and just play with it live and you know, follow the direction of the music and the artist. So there's really many ways. For my personal experience, if you try getting into this road, if you create your own content, it's definitely, more satisfying for myself, for instance, to create something and then see it on the screen. It's a big emotion. It's something really cool that you see on this massive wall. And at the same time, it gives you, if you learn how to make content, being 2D, 3D, filming, whatever it is, and you find your style, then you're good to go. Like you can find an artist that likes what you like and you can create an amazing show. So there's many ways to get into this. And I think the big part of it, aside from, you know, just learning the software, which is quite easy, is trying to create something that is yours, trying to create something that you can be proud of and seeing on screen, and then you can potentially collaborate with someone on, so an artist, for instance, to create a show that is yours.
So for a while, you were, I guess, working on things by yourself and then expanded to have the Umbra World team. What was the point at which you thought, I need to bring more people into what I'm doing?
2 years ago, I started working on a lot of projects where I had the creative direction and I had the art direction. So I had to put teams together to help me out, obviously, because these projects can last 1, 2, 3 months, but it's a lot of songs, mainly with DJs. And, you know, DJs kind of have such a big amount of songs they can play in a set. It's never the same. So you kind of have to cover all of it in some way, which is a fun thing to do. So at that point, I was obviously relying on a lot of freelancers, which most of them still work with us on a lot of these projects, and a couple of studios that helped me out on a few projects. And I figured out, you know, at some point in time, I'm going to be a bit tired of touring this much. This is what I kind of like to do. It's evolved from, obviously, I wanted to travel the whole world and do all the shows I could possibly do in the whole world to, okay, I've done that now. I can just chill out for a second. And at the same time, I was still touring with Martin, and I met my girlfriend now, Julia, which obviously this was a big change for me, not having anyone to pass from to have a girlfriend that is there with me. She kind of pushed me to create Umbra and see what the potential could be. And so that was the first strong point for me. Julia kind of helped create with the name and create, like, do all the management stuff with me. And now 1 year later, you know, the team is expanded and we're working on a big variety of projects from corporate to music. So it's going amazingly well.
Well, it's been great to speak to you about all this. I do find it so fascinating. What is your track of the week?
What is my track of the week? That is a good question. Can I check on my phone really quick the name of the track I'm listening to the
most? Yeah, you can.
So the artist is called Apache. And it's like kind of a really interesting classical dubstep. I'm not sure how to define that. It's actually the whole album he released is pretty cool. It's the whole thing. That's what I'm listening to the most right now. It's just weird and interesting at the same time. Yeah.
What is the best lesson you've learned so far in your career?
I can say probably two.
Okay.
The first one is if you want to work in music, this is something I learned while I was on tour as well, speaking to like a set carp. That, you know, it was my first tour. I didn't really know anything. But this struck with me and it was really important for my career. And I think most of what I do is because I respected this rule. Just don't be in the way of an artist. Just don't, you're there to work. Obviously there's a lot of artists which we created relationships with and now we're friends and it's amazing. They're the artists and you have to just do your thing. You know, many times fans from like Martin or other artists write to us and they're like, hey, how can I come to work for the team? And that per se is a very difficult thing because if you're a massive fan of an artist, it's going to be really difficult to get into a team because it's just not easy for anyone to have someone around that is you know, obviously I like the music Martin does and
yeah.
But he was my boss. He wasn't, and a friend, but he wasn't just someone I can look up to in those terms.
Yeah.
So I think that is one of the biggest thing in the music industry in general. You obviously can be a fan of someone, but you can't show it how you would. And it's still
hard,
work.
Isn't it?
Of course,
absolutely. Sometimes you put people on a pedestal, but they're people. They're just people. And I mean, I say just people. It's not that they're anything less by just being a person. Yeah, they might be an amazing person, but they're a person. And it's like what you say, if you're working for somebody, but it's hard, isn't it? You can admire them and admire what they do, but if you behave in a way that isn't just normal, it's going to make them feel uncomfortable in a situation where they need to feel comfortable to be able to give the best performance. So
that is
it's a tricky one, isn't it?
Yeah, but I think I learned a lot from that, and as I said, eventually being on tour with someone so long, obviously you become friends and you chat and you talk about your personal life or whatever it is that you want to do. But you know, it's really important to try and keep those boundaries and try and respect them, because you have to be yourself, and it's already not the easiest thing when you have like a massive star in front of you. Obviously, it's just how it is. I think that's pretty normal for everyone.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone would like not care completely. But yeah, that's one advice that was really helpful for me. And the second advice is just to push as much as you can towards your goals. And it's something that happened to me as I was pushing so hard to reach these goals, and I would get there and then I would have another massive goal, and I kept on doing that, and I think that was the one of the biggest things that brought me here, and you know, to kind of dream super big and try and get there, and then eventually it happens if you push really hard, and it happens if you work really hard. So
it does. I think you have to dream big but also work hard. Like if you're just waiting, if you're just dreaming,
it's not gonna happen.
Yeah.
course.
Yeah. I find all this stuff really fascinating, and I think that a lot of people will enjoy this episode. So thanks very much. I hope you have a great day, and I'll speak to you soon.
Cheers. Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. Be sure to hit subscribe and leave a comment to let us know what you think. And I will see you next time on Backstage Pass.